Classics Now, the radio program of the North Coast Great Books Discussion Group. I am Solomon E. Verta, joined as I always am by the lifeless Mary Harper for yet another selection from the shelf of classics. What do we have this month, Mary?
We have Honoré de Balzac's Père Goriot, or Old Goriot. Everyone's going to have to forgive my French pronunciation. I know it's lousy, so don't call Lorna and tell her about it. We know already.
Très bien.
Balzac was born in 1799 and in Tours. His father was really an interesting guy. His father was really a self-made man. He came from the sticks and made himself into someone very important. And he wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. So his son was sent to school, which didn't sit well with him. Then he was tutored, which was even worse. They moved to Paris. He hated that. he didn't like any of it. But he finally went to the Sorbonne, and he got his degree. And his father wanted him to become a lawyer. So he said, okay, Dad, I'll try it. But he hated it. He really hated it. And so when his apprenticeship was up, he said, nope, not going to do it. Although I think he really got a lot of good experience for his novels.
Yeah, yeah.
From the law.
Or he said, Dad, I'm going to be an artist.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
You know, as parents will do, they threw up their hands and went, what are you going to do? Yeah. So they gave him enough to get by in a garret in Paris. He wrote a lot of potboilers at first under assumed names and with other people. And that was also an interesting bit of education for him in how to write to a deadline and write a lot in a short amount of time.
There you go, getting those 10,000 hours, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was really bad at business.
Right.
Yeah, he failed at numerous businesses and was heavily in debt by the time he reached 30. And so he just kind of set himself down in a chair and said, by God, I'm going to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned out the first novel that was under his own name. And within 2 years, he had written Cousin Bette, I believe, which was, or Eugénie Grandet, which was his first real bestseller. And after that, he was pretty much on his way, although he's continued to make bad business decisions.
Well, as we tend to, don't we?
His work schedule is renowned. I mean, he just put in an incredible amount of hours every day writing and drank an incredible amount of coffee. He just consumed it to the point where we would all just be hanging from the chandeliers, I think. But he did manage then to create an awful lot of material, over 90 books and short stories in the course of the next 20 years, which was all he had left.
And this book that we read actually is part of a larger, say, series of novels and stories that have these recurring characters that are kind of begin with our story here.
Right.
Well, maybe not begin.
Yeah. It's sort of all over the place, but he called the whole thing the human comedy.
Yeah.
He wanted all of his work from this point on to reflect everything about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
He's credited with beginning with a realism because his stories are not, they're neither particularly happy nor particularly sad. They're very real. They're very much what really happens to people in life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot throughout that was just heartbreaking, but also funny and interesting.
Yes.
It's like, yep, I know that guy.
This book is also often called the French Lear because it is about a father, Old Goriot, who has given his daughters everything, and they only want more.
Yeah,
and he comes to a sad end. It takes place, most of it, in this little boarding house, which is kind of a little bit seedy. Not the worst, but by far from the best.
Well, that's what a great opportunity then you could have anybody move into that boarding house.
Right.
And so it's an opportunity to like, let's throw this character in there. Let's throw this character. So who do we have in this boarding house?
Well, we have Goriot, of course. Mm-hmm. And the other two really main characters are the young, naive lawyer Rastignac.
Rastignac, yes.
Who's come from the country to kind of make his mark in society. He's descended from minor nobility, but they're very impoverished by this point. And the other interesting character is Vautrin, who is, we find out later, he's a criminal in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very interesting guy. And it's all ran by Madame Becker, who's just, you know, the little boarding house. She's just hilarious. She just wants everybody to run according to her her specifications. And by the end, there's this horrible day for Madame Vicaire where everybody leaves. It's like she had a boarding house full of people, and now she has no boarders. She's just beside herself. She can't take it.
Right. Well, life happens, right?
Right. So much of this, every character in here is well-rounded.
Yeah.
And is full, is vivid. Many of our members who came to the meeting said that this was one of their favorite reads of all of the ones that we've done. It just, the characters just come to life. And it is both funny and tragic. When in the opening, when we're meeting all the characters, we learn about Goriot. And it turns out when he first moved to the boarding house, he was in the most expensive room and had all these wonderful things. And they slowly watched him move to lesser and lesser rooms and sell his things. And they're not sure why this is happening, but they keep seeing the daughters come in their finery. And so they make this assumption that Goriot has all these mistresses, and that's where all his money is going. And when he says, oh, that's my daughter, and they kind of go, oh, right, daughter, nudge, sure, kind of thing. So there's all kinds of wonderful, funny little things like that going on. Rastignac is a very interesting character because he's torn. He has come to study law. His parents and his sisters are giving up, everything, really. They're living in poverty so that he can do this.
Yeah.
And yet he's driven. He wants to be more than that. He sees that the law is only going to end up getting him only so far. It's not really going to repay his family for what they're doing. And so he decides that he needs to make it in society so that he can really triumph. And then he finds out that making it in society is kind of a two-sided thing. You kind of have to give up a lot of your morals in order to do it.
Yeah. It's a question of when you come to this stage in your life and where you have to make this decision about which path are you going to take. And he's that young, impressionable kid, and he's got to make that decision
of
what he wants to do.
Yeah, and he's really torn through the whole thing. Voltron tries to use him as a pawn, and he doesn't quite go that far. He doesn't give in to Voltron, but he does. He falls in love with one of Goriot's daughters, who both are married. Goriot's daughters have not married well. They were supposed to because they have these big dowries, but both of their husbands have cheated them in one way or another, and so they don't have as much as they thought they did. And we find this out through the course of the novel. And of course, who did they go to? Four more.
Come to dad. Get a little more,
Yeah. So anyway, Rastignac sees this, and this doesn't even, doesn't do anything to help him make decisions because he really likes Goriot. He thinks Goriot's probably a really good man. And he's in love with one of the daughters, and yet he sees them behaving very badly. So it doesn't help him at all. Here's a wonderful series of conversation that goes on when he goes to see his benefactor, who's a distant relation but is into society. She says, she's talking about Goriot. She says, our heart is a treasury, and if you spend all its wealth at once, you are ruined. We find it as difficult to forgive a person for displaying his feeling in all its nakedness as we do to forgive a man for being penniless. This father has given everything. Throughout 20 years, he's given his love, his whole heart. He gave his fortune in one day. Then, when the lemon was well squeezed, his daughters left the rind in the gutter. And the Viscountess, who she's talking to, says, yes, the world is vile. And the Duchess answers, vile? No, it goes its way, that's all. If I talk like this about it, it's only to show you that I'm not taken in by the world. I think as you do, she said, pressing the Viscountess's hand. The world is a slough, so let us try to stay on higher ground.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a scene describing how Paris society really works, and it's not pretty at all.
Well, and this is set in this time of the Restoration, the Bourbon Restoration, kind of in between the, after the first revolution, and then the nobles come back, and the aristocracy tries to reestablish itself.
Right. It's after the terrors and all this stuff, but. And actually, Balzac was in favor of this. He really didn't think democracy was a go, although he really had a lot of sympathy for the working man. So it's kind of a mixed bag there, too.
Well, I mean, it was pretty rough. So you can imagine how.
Interesting. They describe Goriot's history, and he just kind of skimmed along with it because he was a pasta maker, is what he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very careful, and he got the business from the guy that he apprenticed to, and he made his pasta. And when the run came on flour, we all remember the let the meat cake line. He was busily making his pasta away, and pasta was just as good as bread, except people didn't really know. And so he sold and sold and sold and sold his pasta, and got, that's how he got his wealth. And he got it just at the time, there's a line in here, it's great, he's like, he was wealthy after it was not kosher to be wealthy, so so he timed it just right.
So we go from Rasnick, do you have another section here?
This is an interesting one. This is one of the first times that Rastignac realizes that there's two paths for him, mm-hmm. that he can stay on the straight and narrow and become a lawyer and apprentice for years and maybe just, be okay, or he can, rise in society. And he says, "Must I be faithful to virtue, a heroic martyr? Bah, everyone believes in virtue, but who practices it? Every nation worships liberty, but where on the face of the earth can you find a free nation? My youth is still like a blue unclouded sky. Does wishing to be great or rich mean that I must make up my mind to lie, to give way and cringe, spring up again, flatter and dissemble? Does it mean making myself the lackey of other men who have lied, yielding and cringing? I must be their servant before I can be their accomplice. Well, then, no. I mean to work honorably and uprightly. I will work night and day. We owe our fortune to nothing but my own exertions." So that's his first decision, but that doesn't last very long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This one is full of wonderful little phrases, too. Let me see if I can find one here that they seem to be summing up in a word the things that you think. This is one about love. "Love passes swiftly and is gone, but the path he has taken is marked like a wanton urchin's by a trail of destruction." So this is at the end.
Yeah.
Well, things don't work out well,
right.
Unfortunately. Rastignac does get his little toe in the door in terms of society. But as I mentioned before, two daughters are not in good straits financially, and no matter, Goriot's already given away everything he's got, so he's got no more to give them. And Rastignac's relative who had helped him in the door for society is disgraced, and so she leaves. And then Goriot, he's just beside himself. He's trying to help his daughters, and he has no more to give, and makes him ill, and he's dying. And it's Rastignac sends for both daughters, and they don't come.
They send some other folks in their place.
Right, right.
It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, a servant or whatever. And the younger daughter, her husband won't let her come. They're having problems right now, and so he's like, "Well, we're discussing this, and when we're done, maybe I'll let her go." He won't even let the messenger talk to her. And the other daughter, the one that Rastignac's in love with, is asleep, and her maid is not going to wake her up. Later, she has other reasons that she doesn't come. And Rastignac is he can't believe this. I mean, here's this man who has given up everything, his whole life, for these two girls, and they don't even come when he's dying.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. On the other hand, there's a wonderful, it's very long, deathbed rant by Goriot where he realizes that part of this situation is his own fault, that spoiling his daughters and giving them everything they wanted all their life and being obsessive about it to a certain degree was not a good thing. One of the things about this is that everything I've said, I mean, it's still here. you know, we're still dealing with all of these problems. It's hasn't changed a bit.
I was walking up here and I was seeing all these new parents dropping off their kids in college and I was just thinking about this book and being, boy, so be a good family read, all right? Before your homework level gets too big, remember to honor your parents and love them because they got you here and parents, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Most of them will sacrifice virtually anything for their children. I think until you're a parent yourself, you don't quite know that.
It's kind of just the way of the world.
So that's how Balzac approached it, too. He was very cynical in some of his early work, but he mellowed a little later on. He didn't make anybody have a happy ending or be a hero, but he's always gentle, even when he's making fun of his characters. Mm-hmm. He's gentle about it. He cares about them.
Well, we're staying in France or next month. We're going very far.
We are.
So tell us about next month's selection
Two very interesting poets, at least two anyway, Rimbaud and Verlaine. I have not read either one of them.
Oh, yet, really?
So I will be very interested.
Oh,
and
we're in for a treat.
As you said, we may have to have some absinthe for that. So we'll see.
Go down the courthouse market and see what I can find. So thank you for listening with Lorna Bryan Engineering and Mary Harper joining me. Thank you for listening to Classics Now, the radio program of the North Coast Great Books Discussion Group. Have a classic day.